will be having Awana Sunday night, but our evening meeting will be at Welch Chapel. So if you want to be there, be there. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock our time, 6 o'clock their time. So 7 o'clock our time. All right, Eastern Standard Time. Living Dunlap, don't go by the time. John chapter 7. I've always wanted to teach out of this, never really seen it the way we see it tonight. I think it might be appropriate going into revival that we use this text tonight. And I'll maybe refer to that a little bit. Then we're going to get into some deeper stuff. So John chapter 7 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, in Jerusalem or in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret. He himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. I want y'all to see this right now. I want y'all to get a hold of this going up to Galilee. There's three places in this that I just see it kind of sticks out to me. That's just kind of neat. And we'll talk about when we're ministering to people and sharing. And you know they're doing something, but they won't admit to it. It's so good right here. Because he said he didn't go up there because they were seeking to kill him. I want y'all to just make a mental note and hold on to that throughout this message, because I want you to see how God works through that. He knew that the Jews and the Israelites at that time, the religious elite, they wanted to put him to death, and he wanted them to. Amen. He wanted them to, but not until it was his time. Okay, but then the Feast of Tabernacles is at hand. It's also a Feast of Harvest. It's also a feast that God shows that He is plenteous. And it was always coming around harvest time. And we study this out. It was a time the Jews got together and they stayed in tents and tabernacles. And they would stay in these booths. And they would feast and they would worship. They'd do a sacrifice in the beginning. And 8 days later they'd do a sacrifice in the middle of it. They would just praise God for the blessings in their life. They would also look for things in the past and look for those things that were to come, thanking God for the things that they had already seen, but also looking for those things to come. And a lot of times, if we look in the Scriptures, I studied this out, the Feast of Tabernacles is also a real good representation of the second coming of Christ, and maybe even the first coming of Christ. A lot of people do not believe that Jesus was birthed in the wintertime because the shepherds would not be in the field during the time of winter, but during the time of harvest. I know I'm not going to argue and wrestle around about what this time or that time, but a lot of people believe that the Feast of Tabernacles were at the same time Jesus came the first time. But it's kind of a neat thing that there was a big thing going on. There was the Feast of Tabernacles going on, and these brethren came in, and they were like, hey, you need to go up to the Feast of Tabernacles and show out. You need to go up and show yourself. You need to go up and let the world know that you're in this thing. And he was having no part of it. At that point, what he was trying to do was, he said, that's not who I am. I'm not going to show out for you. Oh no, man. I hope y'all can get a hold of this. What he was saying is, look, I didn't come. Sometimes we think that we got Jesus and he's going to just show out for us because we want him to. We're going to have meetings with Jesus. Somebody said about this revival. Well, we're going to go down to this revival. We're going to have a great time. And that church is going to be blessed. Listen, we're blessed anytime we go anywhere to share Jesus. We're blessed anytime. We're not taking something to anybody that they don't even know about. Listen, we're going to go down there and hope God blesses them, us, everybody. I hope he fills my cup, their cup, and I hope the cup runs over into the saucer and we all drink from it. I hope that for months on end, a revival begins down in Dunlap and spreads all over the place. But these guys were like, we're going to take Jesus down there and he's going to show out and it's going to make us look good. He said, that's not what I'm about. I'm about my Father's business. That's what I'm about. It's kind of a neat thing because you'd think, man, Jesus would go up there. But also, when you start peeling it back on this tabernacles, when you start thinking about if it is a representation of the second coming of Christ, it's neat that he sends them ahead, amen, and he comes after. Let's look at it a little closer. Verse 6, he says, "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." He said, it's time for you to go up to the tabernacle. It's time for you to go up into that feast. "The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me because I testify of it, and the works thereof are evil. Go you up into the feast, and I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come." He's saying, look, you go on ahead. You're going up to the feast and get that thing going on. Do what you're supposed to do. I'm not going up. And I'll be honest with you. When I see the second coming of Christ, I really believe that's what it looks like. The church is doing its business. We're going about our business. And God's going to come. Jesus is going to come at a later time. Amen? We're supposed to carry on. We're supposed to carry on. Occupy until he comes back. Amen? And I think he sent all them. Y'all go on up and don't even think about me. Praise God. Don't even worry about me when I come up there. I'm not going up with you. Goodness, that's kind of a hard situation, ain't it? And you got to think, every feast, every Old Testament feast, everything they did was a representation of Jesus Christ, and he won't even go to the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a purpose in it. There's always a purpose in it. God's always working. Amen? He wants to go up there when he wants to go. He wants to show up when he shows up. He wants to do what he does. He's not a trick. He's not a show. He's not something you turn off and turn on. God's God. Amen? He's God. Amen? He's not something. I love when people say, well, I hope God shows up. God shows up when God shows up. He's not in a person. He's not in just one person. He's in everybody that believes in him. He can show up whenever he wants to show up. He can be in meeting if he wants to be in meeting. He cannot be there if he don't want to be there. Amen? I want you to hear that and understand it. God's not a trick. I don't care how much charisma you have or how much lack thereof you don't have charisma. God, if he wants to get in it, gets in it. Matter of fact, he works in the more humble people than you can imagine. I remember reading about this guy who got saved at a big convention. They had it every year. Focus on the Family had it. And he was talking about how he got saved. And he said, what night were you there? He goes, I was there on a Tuesday night. It was a great venue. There's a bunch of people there. And he goes, I went down, and all of a sudden, somebody gave their testimony. So the guy looked back up, and he was looking back over it, and he looked up, and he said, on that night, we had one of the world's strongest men that night. He came, and he ripped a telephone book and then gave his testimony. Is that the night you got saved? He goes, I don't remember him. I don't remember that guy. But I do remember a handicapped gentleman that they put him up on stage prior to the show, and he talked about how good God was. And I was sitting there complaining on the way in, complaining earlier that day, and as I come to the saints, because there's some things that wasn't going my way, and I was bitter and angry about life. But here this man who was handicapped was up on stage glorifying God and how good he was. And it brought me under great conviction, and I got saved. I really don't remember about any strong man being there. And he did. He went back and watched the tapes and looked at it, and there was a handicapped gentleman who got up before everybody started and gave his testimony and talked about how good God was, even though he was crippled and couldn't get around the way he wanted to. And he said, man, I would have thought God would use the real strong man. Sometimes God uses the strong man too, but let me tell you something. God's going to use whatever he's going to use. You can make all the plans in the world. You can have all the arrangements. You can have it all set up, and somebody get saved in the singing. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? I remember going down to my pastor's church on a Monday night. He has Monday night service down at his house. They built a little church out in his backyard. He had a man come from Africa as a pastor. He got saved in the 1970s when missionaries from Kansas went over there. He got saved, and now he comes to the United States and leads people in the United States to the Lord. It's kind of a weird thing. He says he's the only one that flies over here now. The rest of them are Buddhist and Hindu and everybody else and Muslim, and he'll be the only Christian flying over here, but he's coming here to tell the church that sent somebody to him that God's still alive and still real. Amen? But anyway, I was so excited. I went down on Monday night. That guy was going to give his testimony. He's going to preach. And I got down there Monday night, and I was sitting in about the third row, and I was sitting there going, man, I can't wait. Can't wait. I'm going to hear a preacher from Africa. I'm excited. I want to hear. I can't wait. I don't know what an African preacher sounds like. Boy, I can't wait to hear him. And a little girl got up on stage and sang, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Next thing I was in the floor praying, weeping before God. and the meeting took off. I don't remember what the guy said or what he didn't say. But I knew God was in it. Amen. So, I mean, sometimes you can have this little thing like you're somehow, God's going to honor what you do or how you go. But a lot of times God's going to honor himself. Amen. And God will get in anything that honors him. Amen. I don't want to preach everything, but I kind of do. You know, it was like the man who, you know, the Pharisee invited Jesus over to his house. Come into my house and eat. He never honored Jesus. He thought the trick was just getting him in there and to see how blessed he was. But God got in the fact that a little old woman brought an alabaster box. Amen? He wasn't in the fact that the apostles were there and the religious elite was there. And, oh boy, everything looked good. He got in the fact when somebody came in and said, you know, I'll worship. Understand? All right, so that's where he's at right now, and he's coming to the Feast of Tabernacles, and I love this that he doesn't come until it's going on. He don't show up to the Feast of Tabernacles until it's going on. It's like the second coming. When he comes, it's like it's going to be going on, and he's going to come back as a thief in the night. I hear people all the time say, boy, I believe the Lord could come back in time. I do believe that. But it says he's going to come back when you think he wouldn't come back. Amen? I believe we're going to get into a place where we're going to be like, wait a minute, I don't think the Lord can come back right now. It's too good. Next thing you know, it's going to happen. I think we can get there pretty easily sometimes. Go up into the Feast of Tabernacles, verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were as in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? Now check this out, verse 13, 12 and 13 together. I love these. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. I love this, don't you? This is still going on today. This is still going on today. People are still wrestling with Jesus today. They're wrestling. You don't know it, but they are. They're wrestling in their hearts and minds. See, they're just is this a good man? Is this a deceived? Is it good? Should I believe in it? Should I trust in it? Can I? I don't know if I can. God, Jesus had turned the world upside down. And everybody in Jerusalem in their tabernacles. In their tents, we're worshiping God and talking about Jesus. Worshiping God and talking about Jesus. I wonder if this is who he says he is. I wonder if we can believe him. No, I don't know. He might. Oh, shh. There's somebody walking by the tabernacle. Some Pharisee. Somebody will tell you, hey, don't you do that. Don't talk about Jesus. Amen? I want you to see it. Verse 15. No, jump back up to 14. And about the midst of this, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? Now listen, I want you to get this. Jesus went into the tabernacle, he went into the temple and started teaching. This is so neat to me, and so I'm so torn up about this, because with Jesus, he goes into the town, he starts teaching, and he's not even supposed to be there. They don't even know if he's there. And you know what? The thing that's going to set him apart is if he teaches what? The Word. He preaches the truth. This is what he's going to do, and it opens up everybody. He didn't get on the streets and debate everybody. He didn't get argumentative with everybody. He just stood up and taught them in the temple. Now check this out. It gets good. 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but is that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself speaketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his, his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now check this out. He's saying, look, I didn't come pointing and saying, look, I'm representing God. And I'm representing God by what I teach and by what I do. By what I teach and by what I do. I've been teaching you these things, but I'm also healing the sick, casting out devils. I'm leading the most broken people in your society are getting well. Man, that's good, ain't it? That's what he come to do. But he's my doctrine. And that, listen, I want you to see this. There are people literally in that sanctuary, or people in that city, who are mad at Jesus. Mad at him. I think, man, every time I read about these Pharisees, I'm sitting there thinking, man, what does eternity look for those that did not get saved? What do they look like? They were coming every time that Jesus spoke, every time that he had an opportunity to share the word, they were coming to disprove that he was not God. What do they look like in eternity now? What if we just took one of those opportunities and listened and opened our hearts and our ears and our minds? But we sought to argue and wrestle and fight with God, even though we knew it was God. They knew it. Remember when Nicodemus came to us, we know that our teacher comes from. We know. He said on the Sanhedrin. He said, we know it. It's right here at the end. He's in the Sanhedrin. He said, do we condemn a man before we know it? We know that you are a teacher sent from God. Man, I wonder how many of those men would have gave an opportunity to go back. I wonder how many people go to church on a regular basis, would love to come back and say, man, I wish I hadn't came to church every time to prove somebody wrong. I wish I just came in there to have a grind every time. What if I'd done that? What if I'd just come in and said what God wanted for me? Verse 19, Jesus blows them up because Jesus is smarter than everybody else. He just is. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why you go about to kill me? Now look, remember when I told you to keep a note right there? You're going to see this again. It's really neat, right? Jesus says, well, you guys, you're supposed to have a law. You're supposed to be keepers of the law, right? Well, in that law is thou shalt not kill. It's in there, right? He goes, you got that law, and you're supposed to say you're of God, and you have that law, but you've got a plan to kill me, right? Ain't that crazy? Listen, you know what their answer is? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. He hit a nerve. You're a devil. They just called God a devil because he told them, I really want to preach right here because this is a good point. You need to get this. Sometimes you can be confronted by who you really are and you won't hear it. So the only thing you can do is call something, you got a devil, right? When he just told them their plan. Your plan is to kill me. Your plan has always been to kill me. Because the only thing you can do with Jesus, if you're not going to accept him, you've got to kill him. Amen? You've got to reject him. You've got to get rid of him. You can't stand in the middle of the road with Jesus. People who say they can, they can't. You got to, it'll be with but this and but that. And Jesus, I thought this and I thought that. No, it's, when you get Jesus, I know, right? I love this. Man, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. But we'll come back to it. It's good. I love the interaction. He didn't go up to Judea because they were planning to kill him. He confronts them about it, and then they say, you have a devil. We ain't had no plan to kill you. Good? The people answered in verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. He's talking about healing people on the Sabbath. All right? Jesus has got this thing going on with these Pharisees. He goes, I've done one thing in front of you. I healed somebody on the Sabbath on one day. Man, got this? Listen to this. Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken? Are you angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You hear what he just said? He said, the eighth day is the day that you circumcise somebody. If somebody was born and all of a sudden their eighth day falls on Sunday or the Sabbath Saturday, then you would go ahead and circumcise them because you don't want to break the law, but you're also breaking the law of the Sabbath because that takes work. But you made a judgment call. It's the right thing to do. Right? Well, look at this. He's saying, look, I looked at a person who was broken, who needed healing, and I said, I made a judgment call because I'm a righteous judge. It would be better for me to heal that person than to let them stay unwhole. He said, listen, God, can y'all handle this? I want y'all to get this right here. This is what it's called to be a Christian. Sometimes you just got to make a judgment call. Well, that's not black and white. Sometimes you got to go with grace and mercy when you don't want to. I hope you can hear my heart right here because this is important. Well, what we normally do is this. Yeah, that's what we normally do because this person's broken all the commandments and the rules. But it looks like there's an area that we can go in right here and rescue them and they can be saved even though it looks wrong. Amen? Because we don't want to be farmers of cumin and mint. Amen? We don't want to be farming in the mint garden. We want to bring home wheat and corn. Amen? We want a big harvest. So we're not going to worry about the law over souls being saved. We're not going to worry about the jot and tittle except for this person can be rescued even if it goes, oh, but I'm on my way to church. I might get dirty. Man. Well, I can't. Them people were in a bar on Sunday. I can't. God, I ain't telling you to go in there and get a drink, but you can go in there and be a rescue. Amen? Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I've done this. I didn't want to. I argued with God more than you did. Go by a bar on Sunday morning on the way to church. Motorbikes and everything out there, man. I'm sitting there thinking, man, them roughnecks. Look at them. God said, turn around and go in there. Not so, Lord. Not so. But guess what? You end up standing in that room. Right? That's what you do. I tell you the whole story, but I probably already told it to you. But I want you to hear it, man. Sometimes you got to go again. Sometimes, man, you know the right, you know the law, you know the judge. Well, this is what we owe. Sometimes you just got to go against that. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what, Lord? I feel like I see the brokenness, and I think I can be the place of healing right here. I think I'm going to go ahead and get on in on this mess. I can keep my reputation clean. I can keep everybody happy with me, or I can get messed up right here. I'm going to get in there and get messed up a little bit. Amen? I can't help but see the whole picture of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, right? I mean, he takes off that garment and gets down on the floor and starts washing feet. Some of what is that order? I don't care what it is. I'm just telling you. God took on the form of a servant. Sometimes serving other people, you got to get dirty. Sometimes you got to get a mess. Sometimes you got to get involved, and some of their mess is going to get transferred onto you. Yeah, come on. Sometimes their mess is going to get transferred onto you. Sometimes you're going to get messed over. Sometimes you're going to get hurt. Sometimes they're going to leave you hanging out there, and you're going to be like, man, they hurt my feelings. But what if the crop takes hold? What if the seed takes hold? Let me ask you, when you got saved, did everything just start going perfectly? Everything in your life just happened perfect? Or have you had any struggles since? I've had a few struggles. I've had a few struggles in my life. Amen? But you know what? I'm glad I had some people that said, you know, I'm going to love him despite who he is. I'm going to love him despite of his mess. He made a mistake. I've made many mistakes. I'll make more of them. Amen? You will too. You'll be honest. People answered him, as they are. Let's jump down. 20, is it 25? Yeah, verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seeketh to kill? Told you. told you. Verse 25, this is one of them little running narratives in through this scripture right here that I just love. It's just one of them nerdy things. You know, when you study the Bible and you see it, you're just a nerd for it, because it said Jesus wouldn't go up to Jerusalem or Judea because they were seeking to kill him. He mentions it up there, and guess what? They said, you have a devil. Some people that attack you so hard, it's because they got problems, man. The louder they are and the weirder they get, it's because you got a devil. No, I ain't got a devil. I just told you what you're doing. And that's what he did. He said, you are out to kill me. And guess what? Then the people who are being taught go like this. Why is this dude up there speaking? Ain't this the guy they said they were going to kill? Man, if I could preach right there and just help you, man, I'm telling you. Sometimes when you think you got stuff hid, and you got it all lined up, you think you got it hid from everybody else, your crazy ain't so hid. Amen. I'm serious. When you think everybody's going to be surprised if they figure out I've been doing this, I don't think they're going to be so surprised. Amen. I remember a guy led to the Lord 25 years in ministry. I remember him sitting outside looking down this road, just looking down there. And I was sitting there and I looked at him. I said, friend, what's going on with you, man? He goes, I'm saved. But man, it's going to be hard to go back to the places I've been ministering for the last 25 years. I said, oh, yeah. He goes, everybody is going to be so surprised. I said, maybe not so much. I would just let it happen and see. Amen? Oh, never mind. Sometimes when we got phony religion and we got enough of it, we think we're hiding stuff from people. The people know. Amen? They knew. You're trying to kill Jesus. They thought they had it. Jesus confronts them. You got a devil. We ain't trying to kill you. They probably had a blueprint plan in their pocket. Amen? When he's in the garden praying, we're going to take Judas, we're going to go up, we give him 30 pieces of silver, and then we're going to take him and we're going to have him crucified. That's what we're going to do. You know, but we don't have a plan. It's just something Did you get that, though? Is it good? That's neat, ain't it? Verse 26, but lo, he speak boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know, indeed, this is the very of the Christ, the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. You know what they're saying? It can't be him. We know where he's from. They didn't know anything. Amen? They didn't know anything. Well, he's from Nazareth. Ain't nothing good come out of Nazareth. He's born in Bethlehem. He came out of Nazareth because it's prophetic. He went down to Egypt, and then he came back. And he said he's going to be a Nazarene, but he was born in Bethlehem. If they'd done their lineage chase, guess what? They'd have found out Joseph and Mary are in the lineage of David. His mama and his stepdad. Amen? They would have found he had the right lineage if they'd just done the work, but they just dismissed it. Oh, he come from a small town. Ain't nothing good coming out of there. How many times has that been said? Praise God. I'm glad, amen, that God can take people from small places and use them in big ways. Man, I love that. Who is it? They were some confusion going on, wasn't they? Because if you'll get up under the teaching of God, if you'll get up under the Word, it'll start changing. And you know what? All the religious stuff in the world can't change when you hear the Word. I've been around religious people who try to do religious things. And when the power of God drops, they can't say anything. Oh, they got to sit there and be quiet while God's doing what He's doing. Amen? And they don't know, they can't figure out why they can't get done. Guess what? God's in it. We got rules. Hey, when God gets in it, He shuts the mouths of people sometimes. Amen? He shuts some things down. Then cried Jesus in the temple as He taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Let's go back to verse 28. I want you to hear this. He said, you know. Listen, I don't care what anybody says, especially around here. Listen, you know. You know. Listen, God knows when He deals with you, when He gets on your level, when He gets inside your brain and inside your heart, you know. You can argue, you can fuss. I guarantee the louder somebody is and the more they fuss with you about God, the harder God's dealing with them. It's the people who are in the middle who are quiet and laugh and smile and think they're doing all right. I'm as good as they are. That's the one you got to worry about. But the one that's wrestling, amen, who will wrestle with, that guy right there, he knows. You know. He was telling them people in that crowd, you know. You know. They know. We know. Let's just look at the Word. Right? Let's look. When's the last time you seen somebody blind being healed? When's the last time you seen somebody that was crippled walk? When's the last time that happened? When did you see these people who are prostitutes or not? Amen? The ones that have been made whole. How about these women are following me that had devils in them? How about all these men that once were fishermen, now they're following? You know, just by the Work. Listen, we're not killing people. We're not tearing people down. We're building people up. Whew, that's God. He said, you know, just look at the Word. Verse 29. But I know Him, for I am from Him. He has sent me. Verse 30. Then they sought to take Him, but no man laid hands on Him, because His hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on Him and said, when Christ cometh, will He do more miracles than these which the man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning Him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. They went to get a hold of Him, but it's not His time yet. What happened is it's too late. It's too late. I wish I had another hour to teach right here on this part, but guess what? Sometimes you can be so religious and think you're so right and have all the rules, but when somebody you think's less than, you think somebody that can't get it, somebody who's outside of the religious elite, they hear it and believe. And they got the thing that you don't have, and you're wanting them to be like you, but they heard about Jesus and got it. See, what happened is these people heard. Jesus showed up right on time at the Feast of Tabernacles. He taught. He wasn't teaching for the religious folks. He was teaching for the people who were coming to get in the hospital beds or the pews or the chairs or the places they would sit, who were broken people who would accept Him when they believed Him. He ain't coming after the people who don't want Him. He's coming after the people who do want Him. And I mean, they were sitting there listening, and they were already wrestling. They were already wrestling with God in their heart before He got there. This is a good man. I did the same thing for 30 years. Wrestled with God. Wrestled with Him in my mind and in my heart. So when I was confronted, when you were confronted by the true Spirit of God, by the power, the convicting power of God, you gave in. You should have. I know all kinds of religious people. They can do a lot of good. They do a lot of religious stuff. And they worried about everybody, but they ain't worried about the main thing, Jesus Christ. These people weren't worried about the main thing. And the main thing is that man standing at that desk preaching, teaching is God. And they were fighting against that. Man, that hurts. That hurts my, I sometimes look at the Bible, and as I'm getting older, I start being more concerned about the Pharisees and Sadducees than I am about the other people, because I start thinking, man, here's some people that had it, like Paul said, they had a zeal for God. They were trying, but they went about it, established their own pride. You know? Do it my way. Do it all. This is the way we do it. And they would mix and mingle the law and then their traditions, their law, and their, man, I'll mess around and start preaching for real. And they mingle their tradition and their law and their tradition. And then after a while, we just make more laws and more traditions and more laws and more traditions that nobody can ever figure out what it takes to really get it. Then Jesus comes along and says, I am the way. I'm the door. Come through me. Get eternal life. That's it. Believe in me, you won't perish. Don't believe in me, you're condemned already. Simple? Yeah. You're the only way? Yeah. How about all the rules and laws and all those things? Yeah, I'll get that. Don't worry. I'll nail all that to my cross. The law, here's what was nailed to it. Your sin, the law, and all the ordinances were nailed to the cross at Calvary. Not just your sin. Sin, that's the main thing. God took away my sin. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. But He also took away the ordinances and the law. Everything that I would have to do right, He took that too and nailed it to the cross and said, it's finished. When in that time, in that era, when you nailed it to something, it was saying, this is paid for. So you find all that completed in Christ Jesus. You say, well, what do I do then? You just come into Christ and Christ gets into you, and guess what? Then He changes you. He molds you and makes you into the person that you're going to be the rest of your life. One day at a time. From birth to everlasting life. The day you're spiritually born until you walk into eternity as a born-again spirit. Boom, you're in spirit, right? Man. I just think about it. When I read this, I'm thinking, man, what a waste. What a waste. To go and be in all these meetings and be around Jesus and Him healing people and watching Him heal people and deliver people as we stand, as they come get a song of invitation. As God's healing people, blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, casting out devils. I'm thinking about all these people and they're watching this, and the only thing they can think of, the man with the withered hand, the people they heal on the Sabbath. Oh, we're going to get him now. Wow. What a hard place to be, where God working miracles, saving people, changing people in your midst, and it ain't good enough for you. It ain't good enough for you. That's a tough place to be. If God spoke with your heart, come and pray.